We're so glad you're here today. And so I won't forget this. It's been on my heart. Some of you have been with us a long time. And I thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for your faithfulness and for staying by the stuff. For the core people that make this place, that make our church go, I thank you. I thank you for your work, for your prayer, for your investment. I hope today you'll... I wish we were sitting at a kitchen table so I could have this talk with you. Because that's what I want to have today, is a talk with you. We've been in this series of messages entitled Spring Cleaning. And today we're going to look at absence and presence. If you have your Bible, you can turn to 2 Samuel 11:1. We'll go to that in just a minute. But we're going to talk about the life of David, and in particular, this one event in his life, and then how that changed things. You know, you can't live a proxy life. We live in a digital world where people are trying to live a proxy life. There's something about being present with each other. There's a mystery in that. Now, John's got a few pictures I want to show you. I see this a lot, as you do. People sitting at a restaurant. Here's a couple. They're checking their texts, their emails, they're tweeting, all that. Next one, John. Sometimes people do it at a birthday party. Man, they're really enjoying one another, aren't they? Next one, John. Family gathering. That's a Thanksgiving. Happened at my in-laws one Thanksgiving. My father-in-law stood up and said, "Could everybody put those phones down for just a minute?" I looked around the room. There were 12, count them, 12 phones going. Don't look at me like it doesn't happen at your house. All right? And finally, he's supposed to be asking her to marry him. But look what's intervened. Now listen to me. My family calls me Phone Boy. I'm on that phone. There's probably not a one of you in here that's on that phone as much as I am. I'll show you the minutes. Yeah, Matthew maybe. Well, you can't replace being together. You can't do that digitally, can you? Really? Can it be replaced? And to think that you can just check in with family now and then and it be the same. It's not. That's garbage. You can't do it. Can't happen. Now, we'll give you an illustration. I think you'll understand. I was dating Miss Audrey. We talked on the phone a lot. But you know why I talked on the phone to her? Because I couldn't be there with her. I wanted to be with her day and night. Eventually, we got married so we could do that. Think of that, about that, for just a second. Not the same. It'll never be. It'll never be. A lot of us come here on Sunday morning and we gather and we're really absent because we're not here. We're not all here. We just got to Audrey realized that. And I've told y'all before in where we sat in a restaurant. I could not, they have TVs everywhere and they have them on ESPN, and I'm looking at that scores line at the bottom. I couldn't keep my eyes off of it. So I had to swap places. I want you to think today about presence and absence. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It's from the New Living. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Lord, I pray that you will apply this to our hearts, to my heart, Lord. Lord, you've been preaching this message to me for weeks now. Lord, my toes are a little sore. No, Lord, they're a lot sore. I pray I can share my heart today. And Lord, anything that I say is not of you, just let it drop to the ground. But God, everything that is from you, Lord, today may we hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's the life of David in a nutshell. Youngest son, we see him there, preached on Goliath a few weeks ago. Remember the story? David rises to fame. He's a great musician, very handsome man. He's got leadership. The anointing of God is on him. All these blessings take place. Saul is jealous of him. Saul's trying to kill him throughout his life. I mean, barely gets away. You know, he rises in the ranks. You know, the people, they come into town and they're singing, Saul, who's king of Israel at that time, has slain his thousands and David is 10,000. So, the jealousy continues on in his life. Finally, Saul is killed in battle. He dies. Jonathan, David's best friend, dies in battle. And David is able then to accept and be the king of Israel. God blesses him. In fact, we see the borders expanded, and he sets up the expansion of the Israeli kingdom that goes beyond anything we could think or imagine today. That Solomon, his son, who will build upon that takes place. Everything is going right. And then we get to this verse. And his life turns on this verse. That last statement, and David stayed behind in Jerusalem. He was a warrior. He was a general. He just understood battle. And yes, I realize you give things to other people. But David really, he didn't stay behind in Jerusalem just physically, psychologically, spiritually, everything, every other way. He disengaged. And what happened to David during that time? Well, the army is out there. And they're doing things. They now, because he's abdicated his place with the army, things start happening. I don't need to go into detail with you today. Start happening with them that shouldn't have happened. And what does David do? He's now withdrawn. So what is he? He's out there on his the veranda, and he notices Bathsheba and the whole story of how he fell into sin with her. And then she is pregnant, and he tries to cover the sin by having Uriah, her husband, put it at the front of the battle. He basically murders him, orders his murder. Basically puts a hit out on him because they push him out front, his generals who follow him. And then we see all the judgment then that comes from God. All the stuff that happens. And I want to go over some of that with you right now, the things that happen. Others had to do his job. Compromise sets into his life. Now you think about David before that. He wouldn't compromise on anything. I mean, the guy that's killed these wild animals with his bare hands, expediency became the rule of his life. I want you to think about that. That is the damnable thing in Savannah, Georgia. Savannah would be blessed beyond measure. Listen to me today. Listen to me today. Please. Listen to me. You can pray over this and then whatever God just says, dismiss. But I've got to tell you this stuff today. I got to give you this message. I hope you will hear it. I hope you think we're at that kitchen table. And I'm just being honest with you. That is the damnable thing about Savannah, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia has compromised, has chosen the expedient route every time in their history, and you look at it. And because of that, we've experienced judgment along the way because of that. There is not a person who belongs to God. Every time you cave in to expediency and you do the convenient thing, there is not a blessing that follows that. Is there? Is there? Oh, Dusty, you don't understand. We're living in a different age. Come on, get a grip. We're reading a story talking about a story that's just like you've peeled it off the morning news here. This story that's thousands of years old. It's true. Fresh as a daisy this morning. David took it in that time. When he checked out and was not present and was absent, he took his eye off the ball. Out of sight, out of mind. Right? His affections wandered. And in fact, we think, our culture teaches this. Your decisions you make involve only you. Is that true or false? There is not one single decision you make that does not affect somebody else. Is there? It's like dominoes. I'm not here to put pressure on you. Let's tell you how it is. So your parents, you know that. Well, why are you doing that? Well, Daddy does. His whole kingdom was affected. And you see, they then become embroiled in war and innuendo. His son Absalom turns on him. The kingdom is divided. And David becomes a stranger in his own house. Rape and incest move into the kingdom. Oh man, this is more tawdry than any dime romance novel you can come pick up. All the stuff that happens in there. That's right. All that's in the Bible, by the way. What I just said. Every bit of it. And all of that goes back to a daddy, a king, a leader that didn't show up, that was absent. Absent from where God had called him to be. You see, when we make this contract, we come into this world, we're already living in community. Is it functional or dysfunctional? And see, because of David's decisions, it affected all these people in his life. Actions have consequences. Can I get a witness? But let's look at the other side of it. When David showed up, when he was present, look at his life. So we have to look at his early life up to that point. And then we look all the way when he tries to put his kingdom back together again. And how God blessed him. He was a gifted leader of God. People followed him. Divine synergy was possible. Because when David did the right thing, he did the right thing as a leader. Look, it helped other people make the right decision. Can you see that? I call this divine, this Holy Spirit synergy that takes place when we do the right thing. Community then, the sense of fellowship, the sense of being on mission together became possible for the whole nation. Because you see, it wasn't any different back then than it is for Israel today. Everybody wanted them dead. They were surrounded back then by the same enemies that they're surrounded by now. Did you know that? That's not new information. Same people groups. And they wanted them what? Dead. Like they want them today. That's the real world. The people around him, because then, when he shows up, when he's present and on the job, they all grow in quality and in quantity. And God bless him. Can y'all see where this sermon's headed? I hope it's not subtle. You then had more people. When he does the right thing, they're willing to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, they're bold. I mean, those guys that went into battle with him, one thing David didn't have to do. When he went into battle with them, we see how God blessed him. He didn't have to do this. He never had to do this. Why? Because he knew they had commitment too. I'm looking at some of you that I know would die with me. I know that in my heart. All right. So, how about you? Are you present or absent? Look at your life. The call of God that He has on your life. Are you present or absent? You expecting somebody else to do your job for you in the kingdom? So here's a few things to come. God allows us to make choices. That's one of the prerogatives that God gives to His creation, human beings, that the animal world, the mineral world, does not have. We get to make choices. But then we live with the choices that we make. I'm standing before you as a pastor who is very flawed, and I sure wish that I could go back and undo some of the decisions I made. You don't need a list of them, but suffice it to say, I, like you, have feet of clay, and I'm a flawed human being, and I thank God for His grace and for His forgiveness and for His restoration. And that everybody, everything that either I want to use a verb here, but I'm not going to use that verb. If I was with guys, I would use that verb. But I let it get away. Do you get me, sweetheart? In my life, and then all the things the devil has stolen from me, this God that we serve says He will restore. And you can take that to the bank. I know probably about this time, some of you who are older, you don't know where I've been, probably not. And some of you younger guys say, he's 63 years old. What does he know? Well, I want to say to you today, again, my presupposition at the beginning of this message, let God speak to you. Now, you got a sheet of paper when you came in today. I want you to have that available because I'm going to ask you to do something with it in just a few minutes. God's allowing us to make choices. I believe He's had His hand on our church from its inception. And physically, geographically, the inception of this church took place in Jones County, Georgia. That's where the vision of God came, this church. Audrey and I moved here to plant this church. And we've had a lot of ups and downs. We've had a ride. But I still know today God has His hand on our church. Here are the reasons I know that He has His hand on our church. The first reason is because I see some of you that are making a difference in this community. My judge of any entity is kind of like, as I quote Jack Deere, he said, what if it went away? And so I asked myself the question, what if the Sycamore Church went away? What would be missing in Savannah? And I've got quite a list of things. If we went away, and it gives me encouragement, because God's given us influence in the city. Influence that I don't believe we're properly using right now. Would there be a hole spiritually in Savannah if the Sycamore Church went away? I don't have to think about that very long to say yes. Second reason I know God's got His hand on church is the uniqueness of our body. And every church is unique. I've been a part of a lot of churches in my lifetime. I've served on staff. I pastored a number of churches and served on staff, some huge churches, very small, all along the way. All kinds of ideas along the way. But when I look at our church, there's some uniqueness about our church. The church is not perfect, but we have some uniqueness. And again, I'm not saying to you, don't hear me. Please don't hear me. I know God is working in a lot of ways in Savannah. We need to celebrate that, what God is doing. But we've got to do the part He's called us to do in the city. Look at me. And we're not doing it. Do you hear me? We're not doing it. We've got a lot of audience from time to time. But we need players on the field. So what do I see as uniqueness of our church? Well, Paul talks about church as being a... The Greek word is musterion. I use it a lot because I like that word. I like musterion. I just like to say it because it speaks the concept of mystery better than the English mystery. A musterion. There's this mystery about the church. Now, let me tell you part of that mystery. Back to Miss Audrey again. I didn't know as a young man just what that felt like when I got around her. Oh, man. Whew. That felt good. I got that kind of tingly feeling. I've been married almost 42 years. I'm here to tell you, don't believe all that garbage you hear out there. I still have the tingles, man. I'm embarrassing some of you. That's all right. This analogy you'll remember. But, wow. Being present with each other. And all that means when you touch somebody, how do you digitize that? You can't do it. All the stuff that happens when we're present with each other. And let me go on to say this. Your presence here on Sunday morning, in your life group, in all the ways with the people that God has called you with, in the different areas, and I believe there are five of them. I believe God calls us to be congregationally together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, what does that mean on the other side? When we're not assembled. The very name church means the body of the assembled one. Think of it. The assembly. We gather. We're God's put us together. We enjoy the presence of one another together. But He's called us together congregationally. He's called us together in small groups. That's why we have these life groups. He's called us together in groups of two or three. We go out to lunch with people and that kind. He's called us at one-on-one, people in our lives, and He's called us in relationship with Him to be one-on-one. And one-on-one in all of those ways. So as He has joined us together, He has gifted us. When you came into the kingdom, God gave you gifts. Where are those gifts to be operative? Out in the world and in the body. Well, what if you're not together? Audrey and I never would have had any children if we hadn't been together. Look at all the joy. Let me tell you, when I drive, 5 hours to get to and to get to see my two grandboys, Finley and Rory, and that door opens because he knows Megan's already told him, Gamma and Poppy are going to be here in a few minutes, and that door swings open, and I see those little legs churning, and his arms are out like this, and he's saying, Poppy! Man, that does something to me. Oh, I love to talk to him on the phone. I love to FaceTime with him. I love to do all that stuff. But wait a minute, it does not replace that. Him stroking my face. Think of all the interaction that's already happened since you got here this morning. And let me tell you, when we forsake that, we're telling God, doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter. Or we want to get in and get out. God's called us together to be part of His family. You using your gifts, you got to use them. I'm going to tell you, right now we need more people using their gifts in the body. If our present trajectory does not change, there will be no Sycamore Church. Do you understand me? That's how it is. But God has given us a gift and a calling and provision in this city to be all that He's called us to be. People drive from a long distance to be here on Sunday morning. I know God is doing something. We've been a little lax. You can't replace presence. An old friend of mine, he used the terminology, he called it withness. God's constantly changing us. And we as your pastors, and all the leaders of our church, we're trying to change things, change all the things that we need to, and we're going to have to change more things. All of us have got to be willing to change. Change our methods and be changeable as messengers, but our message never changes. There may be some hard things we have to decide to do. And I'm not talking about so we can become like Church X or Church Y. God hadn't called us to be Church X or Church Y. God's called us to be Sycamore Church. We know what our vision is. It's publicly and house to house. It's meeting. It's a two-winged church. It's both in. He's got a wonderful, wonderful future in store for us. Well, I can see it. I can see it. But see, God gives us the choice. We can choose His vision or choose our own vision. Now some of us may think that, hey, I can check out and things will keep rocking along, and then whenever I get ready to re-engage or be a part of it, it'll all be there. We don't live in that time anymore. That's not where we are. Presence. We need each other. And we need every part of this body. The job you have, did God give you that job so you could retire comfortably? By the way, I'm never going to retire. By the way, in case you're thinking, oh, Dusty, you know, he might be a little discouraged. He might think he's going to move to another. He's going to go to do this. That ship sailed a long time ago. I burnt my ship at the coastline a long time ago. I'm in it. I'm in it. Whether you're in it or not, I'm in it. Whether you're going to do it and let God do whatever He's going to do with it, I'm here for all God wants us to do, not just here, but in the world. And I'm telling you, God has much in store for us, but this base operation has got to get stronger than it is right now. We can't afford to do that just physically with people, do all the stuff. We need more people, more committed people than we have right now. And let me tell you who we're looking for. We're looking for every lost human being that is in the greater coastal empire. That's who we're after first. Second, we're after partners. People who are believers. We don't need people that got mad at their church over there and come over. Now if they want to come and heal, you know, that's fine. But we're not playing those games. We don't live in that time anymore. The clock's ticking. Watch the news. See what's on the news. How quickly our lives could change. And we're not ready. We're not prepared. Not yet. But we will be. I'm calling on you today. I'm calling on you to check out of the motel and check in to work. For the plan and the purpose of God that He has for you. And the only way you're ever going to know the joy of that is to participate in it and be a part of it. for all the ways in which I, as a pastor, we as pastors, have blocked you in any way from participating in the kingdom of God, I apologize. Phew, got that off my chest now. Now I'm inviting you. Come on. God wants to use you to reach the people in your life. The job you have. The job you have. That job is not for you to have money. He is funding your ministry. Now think about it. You're going to spend eternity with Him? You're expecting heaven, right? What are you going to tell God about how you spent your time on this earth? When He asks you, well, your field. Dusty, where are these people going to come from? I'm not going to embarrass a couple of people, but we've got some people in our church that are people attractors. They got a gift. That's all there is to it. But you know what? There are many others of us. All the rest of us could be doing that same thing. Because God's not only, He put you in your job, He's put you where you live. He's put you where you work. And what are you doing with it? Are those people being impacted? Now, He wants all those people to come to our church. No, I don't. I want them to be impacted with the gospel. I want them to come into the kingdom. If God so chooses for them to be here, then come on and be a part of it. It's time to engage. The time of letting other people do it and being a spectator is over. All right. He's gifted you. He's called you. And there's a battle out there. The devil's real. He is a liar. The world does not respect you as a Christian. You battle with your flesh on a daily basis. Can I get a witness? Hey, how about guys, let's just be honest. On the computer this week or on your phone, did any image come up that you did not seek out that tempted you? You're not going to be honest? I'm going to ask you that question again. Did any image come up before you this week that tempted you in any way? I guarantee you. There it is. There's the battle. They're tracking you. They know the ones to put on there. Sites you visit, all that stuff. They know, how to do it. It's a battle. And it's a battle for your mind. You need other guys. It's hard for me. It is easy for me to talk to my boys because I can get this far from their nose. But when Audrey used to say, you need to have a talk with Megan, get a grip. Well, Megan, and I start crying. Daddy, what'd you want to talk about? Well, I've done forgotten it now. That's why God gives you a mama and a daddy. And for you that don't have that, you have other people that God gives you in the church that helps you with them. Tim, I want to ask you, are there women in this church that help you with your knucklehead boys? All right. Case closed. If you're discouraged today about life, about anything, I want to say to you today, the Holy Spirit, He is the divine paraclete. He is the one who walks beside us. That's what I didn't say parakeet. I said paraclete. It's para alongside, a kletos called. He's called alongside to encourage us. He is there ready to encourage you. But see, the thing is, He very often is going to use other people. That's why we need to be together. Can't tell you how many times I rode in here on Sunday morning. First person I see is Miss Jerry. She's coming down the sidewalk with a smile wide as Texas, and I'm glad to be here because she's glad for me to be there. How many of you have been ministered to by Miss Jerry? How many of you have experienced Miss Jerry's stomach ministry? Gary, you and Stephen better have your hands up. You better have your hands. Amen. So here it is. You got that piece of paper. We got a lot of needs in church. You're not going to turn this into me, okay? This is going to be you and God. I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm going to write down what you heard God speak to you this morning about you. Not about somebody else, but about you. What's He showing you about presence, about showing up? We need help in our kids' ministry, in our nursery. We need help in every aspect of the... We need help working on these buildings, you know, what with property we own out there. But let me tell you, that's all fine and good. But you know where we need the most help? Where you live. Where you work. We need your connection there. God needs your connection there to share Jesus where you are. So I want to pray for you. And we're going to spend some quiet time. Gary's going to play some quiet music. And I want you to write on that sheet of paper what you feel like God spoke to you this morning. Okay? Let's pray. Now, Lord, we come to you. And I thank you for hearing and answering us today. I thank you for your presence and your power. And right now, Lord, I know you're speaking. You're speaking to us. You're speaking to me. Lord, other people are depending on us to do the right thing. I ask you, God, come, show us. Daniel wants us to pray for him. Daniel's been sick. Daniel's losing weight. And Daniel needs us to pray for him today. Some of you come and let's lay hands on Daniel and pray for him today. All right, Daniel, aren't you glad you stayed now? Oh, look at me. Aren't you glad you stayed now? Oh, look around you. Look at all these people that love you. Do y'all care about Daniel?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's say it together.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Here we go. You ready for this, Daniel? Because we pray for you. Stuff's going to start happening.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yep.
And by the way, somebody got a word for Daniel?
We like him.
All right. What else?
Good to be back.
Peace. Strong and courageous. Gravitate. Daniel, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hey, John, would you pray for Daniel?
Amen.
Do you receive these prayers?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to. Do you receive these prayers?
Yes.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Good to see you back, Danny.